Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind, the type of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is Spirit. I love that. God is Spirit. Not just a spirit. God is Spirit. And His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm wired for worship. And so are you. You may be seated. 30-second recap. You and I are created to worship. That is our creative purpose, is to worship. We're literally wired for worship. We took the place of Lucifer, who was the archangel of worship. What you do and who you are, what you do and what you were created for are completely separate entities. Your worship is eternal. I always talk about the eternal aspect of worship because if you don't worship here, how can you worship there? If you don't enjoy to worship, listen, I could have sang Available for another 45 minutes, and then I would just told him, hey, switch to Lean Back, and we can go like 3 hours. Because when you get in that worship and you start feeling, you start moving in the Spirit of God, in spirit and in truth, time and schedule, all of those things go out the window. And so in John chapter 4, where we left off last week, there is the greatest conversation about worship. And what I love about this is Jesus did not leave this conversation in the hands of someone else. Jesus said, if we're going to talk about worship, I'm going to be the one that talks about worship. I'm going to be the one that teaches. I'm going to be the one that explains what true worship, what real worship is. And so Jesus had a need to go to Samaria. Now, his need was not because of an appointment in a house. His need was not because of a crusade that was scheduled. The need was this conversation, that he wanted to have a conversation with this Samaritan woman. And so he came to the town called Samaria, called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Verse 6, and Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his journey. All man, all God, the God of the universe, all God but wrapped in flesh, is tired because he is dealing with the physical body that he is encased in, and so he has come. He's tired from his journey, sits down by the well, and it was about noon. Somebody say it's hot. The Fender Four were supposed to take family pictures tomorrow. I canceled them because after 8 inches of rain, it's supposed to be 94, and your boy was going to look like he was dunked in a pool during picture time. So we rescheduled for a cooler time. Jesus was tired. It was hot, and a Samaritan woman, verse 7, came to draw water. Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? The Samaritan thought they were having a conversation about water, but Jesus wanted to have a conversation about worship. Jesus asked her for water because he knew if she won't give me what's in her hand, she'll never give me what's in her heart. A lot of times God asks something of you not because he needs it. He wants to see, are you willing to let it go? Let it go, let it go. Now your kids are going to want to watch it all afternoon long. Can you let go what's in your hand so you can have what's in God's heart? Can you let go with the superficial so that you can receive the supernatural? This is the conversation that is happening between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. And so just a few moments ago, 20, 25 minutes ago, in this altar, there was 100 or so worshipers, and worshipers spread out all over this building. And what was happening, there was an exchange. God, I'm willing to let go of what I have to get all that you are. God, I'm willing to let go of past hurts so that I can receive the healing that comes with who you are. I'm ready to let go of failures so that I can grab a hold of who you really are. Many times we want to make it about what we want, but this interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman leads us to a place of maturity as believers to be able to recognize it's not always what we want. Sometimes it's about what God wants and what God needs. Worship takes our focus off of the need and puts it on the source. She came there for water, but now she finds herself in the greatest discussion and dialogue about worship that has ever happened since then or before then, and she's in the middle of it. All she wanted was a drink of water, but Jesus has showed up. Can I encourage you that the reason you are here at Sunday at Living Way is not to have your hand filled, it's to have your heart filled. Not to have your driveway or your parking spot filled, it's so that God, the God of the universe, can step out of heaven and invade your life, your body, your family, and your future. Verse 8 is just thrown in there as just a little bit of information. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. His disciples were not ready for this conversation about worship. They were so concerned with what they needed that they missed the greatest lesson on worship that had ever been taught. They had to hear it secondhand because the growling of their stomach, it overrode the growling in their spirit. That there was things, remember, there is a Simon Peter who is bipolar, and he's in one day and out the next. And you've got self-righteous James and John, and you've got doubting Thomas, and you've got backstabbing Judas. If there was anybody that needed to hear about worship, it was the disciples. But they got so hungry for that Luann platter at Luby's. I'm beginning to think they're not closing. They just keep telling us that, so we'll all rush there. They were so concerned with the new steakhouse, Longhorn. Praise God. He's bringing them right here next to the church. They're opening all over now. But we can get so concerned with what our flesh wants that we will bypass the greatest revelations that God has. I'm not going to keep you till 2 o'clock here today. I'm not going to keep you till 1:30 here today. But what I want to encourage is when we come to church, let's quit looking at our watches. Let's quit looking at the time. Let's quit trying to think, when's the preacher going to slow down? When's he going to quit? When's he going to close? We can come back next week. Oh, but there's some giants that you're going to fight this week that you better get all the Jesus you can get on the inside. And how does that happen? Through worship. You get the identity of Jesus Christ. Verse 9 says, here we go. The Samaritan woman said, but you are a Jew. I am a Samaritan woman. Remember, this is the response to Jesus saying, can I have a drink? Her response is, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. The Samaritan woman wanted to have a conversation about race. Jesus wanted to have a conversation about worship. Well, I knew it'd get quiet there. Anytime the majority of our talk or life is about something other than God, His goodness, His word, His kingdom, then we are a part of the problem, not the solution. We exacerbate the problem. I appreciate the four people that are clapping, and you're probably not the ones I'm preaching to. But can I just remind you that all the problems that we had a year ago under President Trump, those same problems are still happening under President Biden. You can legislate as much as you want, but until people get the heart of God beating in their chest, there's always going to be hate. There is always going to be discrimination. There is always going to be pride. There is always going to be prejudice. I'm not saying we shouldn't address those, but when Jesus had a moment to talk on race, he said, I'd rather talk about worship. That's hard to preach in 2021, because she said, your own disciples left because of the color of my skin. They didn't want to be seen. And now you want to drink out of my pot, and you want to put your lips where my lips have been, and you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. And Jesus is saying, hey, honey, you look like me. I don't care how dark you are, how light you are. I don't care if you got pink polka dots. You look like me. I don't want to talk about your race. I don't want you to talk about my race. I want you to talk about worship. I need to teach you something that when you worship God, it's going to cure your heart, and that hate that you have will no longer be there. The bigotry that you have will no longer be there. We don't need to be shutting down the church. We need to open more churches. We need to open more times for people to come into worship. Why? Because when you worship, you become more like God. And when you become like God, you don't have time to hate, discriminate, or be prejudiced. What do you think about this issue? Let's worship. Well, no, let's talk about the issues. Let's worship. We can talk about everything that needs to be talked about, but that can never override our worship. We can never become louder about that than we are about Him. We can never be louder about the problem than we are the solution. Can I tell you that I still believe the greatest revival and the greatest awakening that has ever been seen is coming to America, and it's not coming to dead, dry, drab churches. It's coming to the worshiping church. It's coming to the worshiping people. It's coming to the people that said it doesn't matter what gender you are, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what age you are, Catholic, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, when you lift your hands and begin to worship, we are all the same. I love this point. I forgot to mention a couple weeks ago. I've never heard anybody else make this point, but it's special to me. I'm a big Hillsong music fan, worship fan. And I hear them sing, and then I hear them interviewed. And it always surprises me, Chris, because they don't sound like they sing. Because when you begin to sing, your accent disappears. Where you're from no longer matters. When you begin to sing, it's not we're Australian, we're American, we're African, we're Asian. None of that matters. When we begin to sing, we start sounding like God. We start sounding like heaven. If we could get the church to worship more, if we could get believers to worship more, I believe heaven would invade us like never before. He said, you want to talk about race? I'd rather talk about worship. I'm the God in this instance. We're talking about worship. You can talk about race with anybody else you want. But he said, you've only got me for 10 minutes. Let's talk about worship. Because I might not be able to change your mind about race. You realize you can't talk a racist out of being racist. Can't do it. It has to be a heart change. It has to be a heart change. You say, can God really do that? There was a man named Saul that was turned into Paul. Saul was killing people because of the way that they believed. Saul was killing people because they were different than he was. He was killing people that said one thing that differed from what he said. Can I encourage you, if Saul could be changed to Paul and he could write 2/3 of the New Testament and we stand on those promises and believe, you best bet that God can save and deliver every racist from hate, but it does not come by talking to them, talking at them, legislating them, or putting them in prison. What it takes is the Holy Ghost and a worshiper to get on the inside of them and say, I no longer think that way. No longer live that way. Bishop has preached about it back 2, 3, 4 generations on his side. We had members of the Fender family that were in the Ku Klux Klan. That ain't me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Somewhere along the line, there was a worshiper that was born that said, it doesn't matter what you look like. I just need to know how you sound. It doesn't matter where you come from. I just need to know, do you worship the same God that I worship? Because when we became worshipers, all hate left. When you begin to worship, you don't have time to mess with the things of this world. Why? Because I'm so concerned with getting God to where I am. I'm so concerned with living like Him. Remember this, the person that you hate, God died for. He bled for. She wanted to make it about race, but Jesus wanted to make it about worship. Quit talking your problem to death and start talking your problem to life. There is resurrection in your worship because we worship the resurrection. Don't get me wrong, our country needs help. But I'm going to tell you, everybody I know, I judge them based on who they are and how they've treated me. I know hate-filled white men. I know hate-filled brown men. I know hate-filled red men, yellow men, and black men. I know great teenagers, and I know worthless teenagers. I know great people that are 70 years old, and I know terrible people. Everybody gets a clean slate with me, and how you treat me is how you're going to be treated. Race and racism has no place in the church, and if we would be more concerned with worshiping Him, we would not be concerned with the color of them. When we all get to heaven, we're all wearing the same robe, we're all going to worship the same God, and we're all going to be perfect and look the same way. And perfect is not a color. If your color matters here, you don't want to go there. Because when you get there, there is no color. We all look like Him. Verse 10, Jesus answered her. I love this conversation because it almost seems like it's chopped up. Give me a drink. She responds with, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We're not even supposed to be seen talking to each other. She didn't answer his question. Now he's not answering her response. Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water. When we ask God, what we ask for illustrates our maturity or lack thereof. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and if you knew God, it would change what you ask for and how you ask for. So then comes the question, do you know God and His gifts? If not, how do you find out what the gifts are and who God is? If you do not know God, but you seek His gifts, you have relegated Him to a Santa Claus tooth fairy type. But when you know who God really is, you will know His gifts. What are His gifts? What He's capable of. Ephesians 4:20, Paul would warn us. He said, for you have not so learned Christ. Meaning you have learned God the wrong way. Have you ever talked with somebody who learned God a different way than you did, and they say things like, well, God gave me this cancer to teach me a lesson. Well, God's keeping me broke to teach me a lesson. God doesn't try to teach. God blesses, God favors, God heals. God doesn't try to do anything. He just does it. And if you learn God that way, I apologize for my peers from the past that failed you. But I've come to introduce you to the God and Jesus of the New Testament. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what cancer, that's what poverty, that's what racism falls under. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance. If you want eternal life and you want abundant life, the only way you can get it is to come to Jesus and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know what my God is capable of. Some of us are trying to learn what the gifts are without knowing who God is. So how do we learn who God is? Easy. Worship. Worship equals intimate. You become intimate with God just like when you became with your spouse. There is something that is produced. There is something that is conceived. There is something that is birthed. I thought I'd get a better amen. Every time I worship, something is conceived, something is birthed, and something is produced. Every time that you lift your hands and say hallelujah, something is conceived, something is birthed, and something is produced. Every time you hit your knee and you bow before God, something is conceived, something is birthed, and something is produced. Every time somebody rolls their eyes at your worship, just like Michael in the Old Testament, their womb is shut up. But while you cry in worship, something is conceived, something is birthed, and something is produced. You can hate on my worship all you want, because what I'm producing is not for you. It's for me and everybody that's in my corner. When I worship, when you come to the altar, when you press play on Tuesday afternoon and you lift your hands and you create an atmosphere of worship, something is conceived. That's why what you listen to matters. You should turn on worship while you pray. Why? It sets the mood. You remember when you first got married? And you, man, the record players are coming back, and you take that needle and you drop it on, you know where I'm going on, a little Marvin Gaye. I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long. If you feel like I do, baby, come on, come on, come on, come on. Pretty please, come on. Let's get it on. Music sets the mood. When I'm in my office or my secret place of thunder, I turn off light. I'm creating the mood to worship so that I can conceive, so that I can birth and produce something straight from heaven. It's why we worship. I'm out of time. It's why we worship. I'm not just that's not who I am. I'm worshiping. I'm getting God to come and invade my life. And God, my mind's not been right this week. Invaded. God, my tongue's not been right this week. Work on my heart. God, there's things going on, and I need to be a better version of me come Monday morning. So I'm going to worship you so that I become like you, so I can conceive, birth, and produce. Verse 11, I'm closing with this. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. The woman says, you have nothing to draw with. She's saying is you don't have a pot to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? I just love thinking in different ways about the text. She's talking to the God that created the well. She's talking to the God that created the water. She's talking to the God that created the dirt and dust that would turn into clay to make the pot. And she's worried because he doesn't have anything in his hand to get the water in the well that he created. And she said it's a deep well. She didn't even know it. She's already testifying of the goodness of God. Oh, God, when you dig a well, you dig it deep. It's not superficial. Oh, your praise can be superficial, but you can't worship God superficially. It goes and runs deep. Now the Samaritan woman is concerned with what is in or not in the hand of Jesus, and she ignores his heart. Remember, he wanted what's in her hand so he could get what's in her heart. Church, listen to this as we stand. The way to God, oh, I thought you'd jump up. We can keep going if you want. Go ahead and get up. The way to God's heart is not through his hand. The way to God's hand is through his heart. If you have God's heart, church, you have his hand. I'm going to say that again. If you have God's heart, you have his hand. Before I asked Mandy on August 15, 2002, in Tampa Bay, Florida, this will blow your mind, at a Juanita Bynum. Been a long time since you heard that name. At a Juanita Bynum conference, about 11 o'clock down there on the waterfront, I got down on one knee because real men still get down on one knee. And I sound old saying this. Back in my day, we didn't have a photo shoot and everybody around us. It was me, her, and some wino about a quarter of a mile down the street. But I got on my knee and I asked her for her hand in marriage. Check this out. Sister Tanya, I would have never asked her for her hand if I didn't know I had already captured her heart. I've talked to people. You getting engaged? Yeah. I'm really nervous. And then I tell them, then don't ask. You should be excited, not nervous. Nerves say she might say no. I knew she wouldn't say no. Because I'd captured her heart, she'd captured my heart. All that was left to do was to join hands, put the rings on, stand before God and man and say, I do. And I encourage you, church, worship is capturing the heart of God. And when you get his heart, you get his hand. But what his hand can do for you, it pales in comparison to his heart. I'm closing with this. Man, I'm getting a little softer as I get older. I watch these YouTube videos of these couples that have been married for 65 or 70 years. Saw one where they had been separated because of COVID for about 6 months. He's in a wheelchair and she's on a walker, and they share the reunion on YouTube. Here they are in their 90s. Been married for almost 70. Big old tears running down their bodies have failed them. Their eyes have failed them. In that moment, money didn't matter. Homes didn't matter. Cars didn't matter. But their hearts beat for one another. And they embraced, and nothing else mattered in that moment. Can I encourage you, church, as the altars are open, when you worship God, you embrace God. And in those worship moments, nothing else matters. Just me and you, Jesus. Just me and you, God. God, I know I could ask you for a lot right now, but God, let me just rest in your embrace. Let me just tell you how good you are, how much I love you, how you've changed my life. I know your hand is great, but God, I'm after your heart. You've got mine. And as this altar fills up with men and women, I want to open up this altar further for not just those that want to capture the heart of God. I want to open this altar for those that can capture God.